You are going to listen to a lecture about medical innovation. Listen and answer questions 1 to 10.
So, in today's lecture, I'm going to look at some of the most important medical innovations in the last 20 years. It may seem like quite a short time, but the 21st century has seen some incredible changes in medicine. Changes that many wouldn't have thought possible at the start of the century. We're going to look at some of these changes and consider how they have and might yet change our lives. Let's start with the functional MRI. This is basically a kind of scan which can detect brain activity. This has actually made mind reading, to an extent, possible. This kind of imaging can tell us the way the brain functions. Not only can this imaging give us useful information on language and memory, it can also be used to detect certain illnesses like Alzheimer's or depression. Additionally, it works as a map for surgeons, helping them avoid critical regions when undertaking brain surgery. However, reading the scans is still quite problematic. Data is still being collected on the subjects who have had scans, which will hopefully lead to a kind of database of what each scan means. It might even be possible to see how certain drugs for mental illness function just by reviewing brain activity on the scan. Another great innovation of the 21st century is the success of creating a functioning artificial liver and functioning kidneys. Japanese researchers achieved the feat of growing a liver from stem cells in 2013, and a laboratory in the USA also grew an artificial functioning kidney in the very same year. Now, many are predicting that manufacture of artificial organs may be a distinct possibility in the future. This would have an astounding effect on the many people who are on donor waiting lists for such organs. There may be no need to wait in the future. There will be a readily available store of artificial organs. Connected to these innovations in organ transplant is the rather futuristic and fantastical idea of face transplants. As the face is probably the most noticeable part of our bodies, people who suffer from facial disfigurement due to accidents or disease are likely to suffer from extreme and ongoing emotional trauma. This may well change soon, as the first full transplant of a face was carried out in 2010 in Spain. This procedure, however, has led to ethical concerns. One which I think is most relevant is the idea of identity transfer. This really is the idea that the recipient doesn't see themselves in the mirror anymore, and rather feels like another person. Now, this may be a real concern, but the likelihood is that they'll see a third face, not the donor's and not the old face of the recipient. Getting used to this could be similar to what they have already been through due to disfigurement, but without the same emotional and physical depth of scar. Lastly, let's look to possibly the most amazing medical breakthrough, not just of our time, but possibly of all time, and this is the mapping of our genes. This is actually the world's largest collaborative biological project, with contributions from over 20 universities and research institutes throughout the world. Why is this so important? Well, it can tell us so much about things that are genetically determined in our lives. It can offer us the opportunity of personalised medicines based on our own individual makeup. It can give us knowledge of how people evolved, and it can also indicate our chances of developing an inherited disease. These are just a few of its benefits. It also offers the chance for far more advanced treatments. However, again, we have ethical concerns about this development. One of the main issues is how, in some hands, it could discriminate against people or certain types of people. A key example cited is one of ordering the perfect child. Now, this may seem quite a trivial idea, but let's put it more practically. If we identify what triggers, say, colourblindness, which is a genetic disorder, by mapping those who are colourblind, it may be possible to eradicate it. But can we be selective in this way? These ethical questions really have no answer. It's just a case of your standpoint. There are also more pressing issues of who gets to see your genetic information. For example, would you make a choice of a future partner based on whether their genes could produce healthy offspring? Again, quite possibly. Yet we must not underestimate the enormous benefits that developments in genetic mapping will give us. Perhaps the issue is about protection of information rather than the act of gathering this data. Okay, so these are just a few medical innovations which are at present changing the way healthcare works. I'd like you for next week's seminar to give a short presentation on one illness or condition which has benefited from gene mapping. Along with an outline of benefits, I'd like you also to look into issues of ethics and legality. If you've got any questions, we don't have time now, but you can ask them in the seminar. Please make sure you've noted them down.